Revelation 4 and verse 4. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. You drop down to verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." For a few minutes this morning, I want us to talk about the Christian crowns. Before we get into that lesson, again, I want to join in welcoming everyone here this morning. Again, we are so close to the end of the year. This year has gone too fast. We need to be mindful of those unable to be out. Be praying for them. And Kathy, it's good to have you with us this morning. So the Christian's crowns. We sing a song sometime called "Crown Him with Many Crowns, the Lamb Upon His Throne. Hark how the heavenly anthems drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him, the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him, the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side, rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angels in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends their burning eye at mysteries so bright. Crown him, the Lord of years, the potentate of time, creator of the rolling spheres, ineffably sublime. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise shall never fail throughout eternity. It's a beautiful song talking about crowning him with many crowns. When we think of this passage in Revelation chapter 4, these 20 elders, 4 and 20 elders, seem to represent the company of the redeemed in heaven. And they bear the characteristics of the glorified church. They are clothed with white raiment. They worship the Lamb. They have been redeemed by the blood. They are round about the throne. They are crowned with glory and honor. They are kings and priests unto God. And they reign. I have a few pictures of some different crowns. These are in museums at different places. We all have our own idea of what the crowns would look like, and we'll discuss some of what was on them a little bit more as we get in to the lesson. But again, these elders cast down their crowns at the Redeemer's feet, saying, "Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power." These crowns that they cast down are symbolic of glory and honor and power. And they are put on them by the grace of God, their Savior, as their reward for this life. The faithfulness to his promise, enter into the joy of thy Lord. But this glory and honor and power represented in these crowns of these redeemed, they lay at the feet of Jesus, saying, "You are worthy." Well, so I want us to consider, again, the crowns that the Christian has, and what are they? One of the first ones I want us to consider is the incorruptible crown. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25, "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." Imperishable, incorruptible. The prizes in these games were usually garlands given to the victors. They were constructed of different leaves like olive, pine, apple, laurel. And these wreaths were totally symbolical. They represented winning the race, winning the contest. And when you stop and think about it, these crowns that they wore were really worthless. They were worthless crowns. And they would go through all kinds of very hard training so that they could compete and win this crown, this garland made out of olive leaves or laurel leaves, something like that. This crown that was going to rot and decay. But we win an incorruptible crown. And it's considered a prize that we are going to get. It's called this incorruptible crown. It's a crown of righteousness. And Paul said, which will be bestowed upon the faithful by the Lord himself at that day, the judgment day. 2 Timothy 4:8. It's a crown that fadeth not away, which shall be given to the redeemed. Peter tells us this in 1 Peter 5:4, when the chief shepherd shall be manifested. So these crowns that we are going to receive are going to come from Christ. And Paul showed the Corinthians and the Christians the inconveniences, the hardships, the disciplines, the self-denial that men would accept to receive one of these earthly, corruptible crowns. You think about all the hard work that they went through to receive that. And friends, the contest, the game that we are in, has a lot bigger stakes that we are competing for. It's our soul. And we want to win that incorruptible crown for our eternal soul. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul said, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection." Again, you think about the athletes that would compete. They would practice exercise all day for the physical things. We must do that all day for the spiritual things. "I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified, that we might obtain a glory and an honor and a power," that's the crown, "that is incorruptible as the word of him who hath promised it." That crown is going to be incorruptible. It will not fade away, just as the word will not fade away. So we strive to win this crown. And we aren't running a physical race. We aren't wrestling a physical opponent. But Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, you know, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. So we have this comparison of the physical and the spiritual. We practice, we train, we compete for the physical. We need to do that for the spiritual. We aren't facing a physical opponent. We aren't wrestling against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And this crown that we can receive is available to all saints. Not just one person, but to all saints who competes and wins this, who is successful. Hebrews 12:1. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." So we are all running this race. What is this weight that so easily entangles us? When you look at the context of this, he's talking about a lack of faith. We need to have faith that we can run this, we can overcome, and we can receive that crown. So we see an incorruptible crown that is mentioned. We see a crown of life in James chapter 1 and verse 12. "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. The crown of life mentioned by James, this can't be anything other than the crown of righteousness mentioned by Paul in 2 Timothy 4:8. Again, there's exercise that we must go through, and it will be bestowed on at that day by the Lord Jesus Christ upon those that love his appearing. So there are these different crowns that we can receive. And who's going to give it to us? It's Christ. Christ himself is going to give us these crowns. When is he going to do it? On that day, on that judgment day. So the clauses which tie the two passages together are, the Lord promised to them that love him and to them that have loved his appearing. So again, it's not just enough to go through the motions. We have to love Christ. We have to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength. We have to love his coming again. And these crowns are only given to those who have been tried and approved and who love him. We can't leave that love out of there. So faithfulness to God in times of testing will build this love to God. When we go through trials and everything else is falling apart around us, what's going to get us through that? Our love for God and thinking of that love that God had for us, that he sent his son. And we think of that crown that is waiting for us, that prize. So that is what we want to strive for. And there are some Christians, though, that are not going to receive a crown. They're just going through the motions. They're the ones, that think that they are entitled to heaven. They're the ones that go through a checklist religion. What is their reward going to be? It's going to be what they deserve. They're going to be gathered up and cast into an eternal fire. So God will reward us eternal death or eternal life. And he's going to give us these crowns. So we have an incorruptible crown, a crown of life. The Bible talks about a crown of righteousness. Again, Paul mentions in 2 Timothy 4:8, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And you think about this. Paul has been speaking about death and the bitterness of it. And he probably knows that his time is very near. He knows the time of his death is very near. And what's he talking about? He's looking beyond that time of death. He's looking beyond that to what lies ahead. That crown which awaited him. It's a crown that comes as a reward of a righteous life that he lived. And this crown is not for Paul only, but one waits for everyone that lives a righteous life and loves his appearing, a crown of righteousness. It's just so logical, it makes so much sense. So we can't expect to get a crown of righteousness if we live an unrighteous life. We can't get a crown of righteousness if we don't look forward to Christ coming again. And you think about when Christ comes back, that is going to be such a glorious time if we are found in him. It's going to be the destruction of sin. We talked this morning about forgiving people and sin that takes place. We live in a constant battle of sin in this world because we're living in enemy territory. Satan is the prince of this world. We battle him every day, but when Christ comes back, there's going to be the destruction of sin. There's going to be an establishment when he takes us up of a rule of right, of justice, of mercy. And he's going to give us this crown of righteousness for everyone that desires it and loves him. So we win this crown of righteousness in our daily life by living a life of righteousness and loving his appearing when he's coming back. And again, how do we manifest that in our life? If we have a loved one that may be gone on a trip, on a journey, they may be in the military, and we say, we can't wait till so-and-so gets home. I can't wait to see him. I know he's coming back. I know she's coming back. I can't wait to see him. And we think about when that person is going to come back every day. How much do we love Christ? Do we think about him coming back? Do we think about that every day? Or do we just think about it when somebody reminds us that he's coming back? So the soul that loves the Lord, he's going to long for that return. Just like the father of the prodigal son. Watching. We're going to be longing for when the Lord returns. And we are going to be living a life of righteousness. So we have an incorruptible crown, a crown of life, a crown of righteousness. The Bible also speaks about a crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For you are our glory and joy. This little word for introduces the reason for desiring to be with them again. And it's asked in a question form to express a deeper feeling than just making a statement. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? It's you. It's you. You are our glory and joy. Paul explains his desire to see them. He longed to see them. There is nothing that would give him the immediate enjoyment or satisfaction at this time as to see them, his spiritual children in Thessalonica. So again, we have to put ourselves into this and ask, what is our hope or joy or crown of glory? What is it? Who have we taught and shared the gospel with that has become a Christian? And we can't wait to see how they're doing. We can't wait to see them and encourage them. And these that Paul taught, when Christ returns in that day, that would be the fruit of his labor. That is one of the fruits. That's not the only fruit, but winning souls is one of the fruits that we are to bear. And he calls these saints the crown of glory. We are your glory, even as you also are ours in the day of our Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 1:14. You think about people that we have baptized. They are our crown of glory. And we can all participate in that by encouraging people and teaching people and getting them to see the light. And it's something to rejoice about. In Philippians 4:1, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. This crown of glory won through soul winning. And it's interesting here that Paul says to stand fast in the Lord, stand fast. And in some places, in many places, Paul uses military terms. This is a military term here, stand fast. But sometimes we think about invading, we think about marching, we've got to get in there and shake things up and do something. But what does Paul say here? He doesn't say invade, he doesn't say march. he says, stand fast. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Friends, standing fast is a big accomplishment. It's a big accomplishment. You think about those that have left and gone back into the world. They didn't stand fast. So Paul gives this loving title to express his affections for the Philippians. And he refers to this form in some way five times when he's writing to them. This beloved and longed for brethren. So the Greeks, back to these crowns, the Greeks had two different words. Like in the slide that I've been showing down in the right-hand corner, this more elaborate, formal type of crown was called a diadem. This was a diadem. And usually an emperor, someone of that level would wear one of these. And it was to show authority, to show power. And it was a crown that they wore. And then we had the other crowns, as I showed earlier, of winning a race. But all of these crowns, they represented winning something, winning the authority, winning the power, winning the contest. Notice another crown, a crown of glory. 1 Peter 5:4, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Just think about being blessed with this everlasting crown of glory. This means that we are going to be a partaker of glory and honor and power. This crown that is going to be eternal. It's eternally His. In Christ, John 17:22 said, in the glory, speaking, praying to the Father in the glory, which you gave me, I have given them that they may be one just as we are one. John 17:22. How are we going to be like Him? We'll be crowned with glory and honor and eternal life. Well, back to Revelation chapter 4, and we see these different crowns, this incorruptible crown, this crown of life, the crown of righteousness, crown of rejoicing, crown of glory. What did they do with their crowns? I mean, when we receive this crown, isn't that like you won everything. Here's your crown. Here's your prize. And then we get our crown and keep it through all eternity. This is the part of the sermon you really got to think about and make personal application. Do we get that crown to keep for ourselves? No. What did they do in Revelation 4? They fell down before Him and they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive. And then it goes on. They were thankful for the crowns that they had received, because it showed what they had accomplished. And again, they didn't accomplish it through their own might and power. It was by the grace and mercy of God. But they were thankful for the crowns that they could give something to the one that sat on the throne that redeemed them, that saved them. And friends, we got to understand, we don't labor and strive to win crowns for ourselves. We want, because we aren't worthy. We aren't worthy. Again, looking at the unprofitable servant this morning, when we have done everything that we've been told to do, we are an unprofitable servant. But we labor, we strive to win these crowns, not for ourselves, but that we can have something to lay at His feet, and His glory and honor will be exalted. Matthew 28, 18, 20, Jesus said that he had all authority. He has all power, all honor, all glory. Revelation 5:12 saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Friends, when we get to heaven, what are we going to give our King that is worthy of all honor and glory and blessing? What are we going to have to give him? If he gives us this crown of life that Paul and Peter talked about, it says you made it. This crown of glory, this crown of eternal life, of righteousness, rejoicing, glory, this eternal crown that's not going to fade away, it's incorruptible. We're going to lay it at his feet. We're going to lay it at his feet. The question is, a couple questions, are we going to receive one of these crowns? And again, what is one of the conditions on receiving it? 2 Timothy 4:8. "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Friends, do we look forward to when our Savior is going to return? Do we live right? Do we live a life of righteousness so that we will receive that crown of righteousness? And do we long for him to return and for him to give us that crown so that we can in turn bow down and lay that crown at his feet and worship him because he is worthy? Friends, if we don't get that, we're just going through the motions and we are going to miss this reward. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to respond to the heavenly invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing. Mm-hmm.